Simon Shinyaches, Seftes, Sivkot and Samavot. So we took this pot off of the fire. You allowed to put salt in it according to the first opinion. Kim and Shavir, you took it off of the fire. Dalo Eish, Afila Bisr with the Tur, Mispashal. Obviously, even we're saying salt is like Bisr, the meat of a shore, and a shore does cook, the meat of a shore does cook when it's on the fire. So it needs cooking the same way the meat of a shore, which is very hard, needs cooking. We find that salt dissolves even in a klisheni. So it sounds like it cooks even in a klisheni. No. The fact that it dissolves is not any indication of cooking. And you find that it can dissolve sometimes in cold water also. So that's not called cooking. Then we said, there's an opinion which says you can't put basar maluach, even of a shore, into this kli rishon. Basar maluach, what's the basar shanim lach v'hudach kadin? Meat which has been processed properly, it's been salted and then it's been washed off afterwards. It's ready to go as regular meat. Shell shore, even of a shore, then he the basar einam is bashal, halakluch shabayim is bashal. Even though the meat doesn't cook, the liquid inside does cook. Now, take a look at the shartzin in Tzadi Gimel. So we're explaining over here that this shore was salted, it was washed off, and this over here is not the impact on the meat, but it is the liquid inside of the meat. So it comes along, you know. Let's see one more sif from Mishnah Berurah, and then we'll go back and see the Shartzin. So the Ramos says that the truth is that this is true even had it not been salted. The reason why we discussed it salted because practically you can't cook it if it's not salted. The Balei Luach. Hainu. So what is Ramos saying? The Lo Nita Loimer. Don't make a mistake and think that Tam Shoyser Hum Mishum Shamelach Marachei Chabosah Hum Yispashal Achakach B'Klirishim. That the Ramah is saying that the explanation in the Shulchan Aruch is not because the salt softens the meat, and therefore it can now cook in a Kli Rishon. No, even if it's not been salted at all, so there's no issue of salt softening it. The problem is the liquid which is inside of it, which even though the meat will not cook, the liquid inside will cook, like Mishnah Berurah explained before in Sifkat and Samach Tes. So then the question is that Ramah wants to know why did the Shulchan Aruch mention salted? The issue over here would be cooking. The problem would be the blood which is being cooked and then eaten as opposed to the Isra of Shabbos. So that's how the Ramah explains the Mechaber. And the Mishnah Berurah and Sivkot and Samach Tes was following the Ramah's explanation. And the Shartzin, he says, in Tzadi Gimel, he says that this explanation that he said the problem is that the liquid is cooking. I'm following right now, he says, the Ramah's explanation in the Shulchan Aruch. This over here is not because of the liquid, this is because of the salt, and that it only applies what it's been processed and then resalted a second time, and the salt is still there. It's been salted and washed already. You resalted it again. The logic is that the salt softens the meat, and that's why it's able to cook. And that's how I explained to you yesterday, by the way. So there's some explain the Shulchan Aruch not like the Ramah. Even though some explain like that, the explanation of the Ramah is the final way to understand it. So I presented it yesterday as machlokes between the Ramah Machaber and then the way the Ramah Vanir Ali is the Ramah arguing. And that's how some understand what's happening over here, as opposed to the way the Magen Avraham understands it. And some say the Ramah is coming to explain the Machaber, as opposed to arguing on it. And he's saying either way, it doesn't. At the end of the day, we follow the Ramah on this point.
I have two questions. First question is, Mefafpekim.
Oh, mefafpek means to they they're wavering. Mefafpek is to waver. There was a questioning.
And what is it then when we have like a beef jerky where it's a salted material but it's never been cooked before?
So we would assume that's I mean, would it have the kula of bisudatura? I don't know. I don't think so. I think that there was. I'm not sure halacha lemaisa how we deal with bisur datura. That was that you get a beef jerky, which is, you know, so it's bisur datura, and there's no liquid anymore because it's totally dried out. It's never been cooked, just been salted. Would it be allowed to be put into a kli rishon? Not all aish because it doesn't cook there. Or do you say that the salt affects it? I'm not sure. Okay. Then the Ramah came along and said that, so that the Shulchan Aruch presented the opinion that salt can go into a kli rishon, not on the fire. There's some who say the opposite, that salt you can't even put in a klisheni. So the Mishabur, Ayin Aleph. The Gemara ikatrei lishni bezeh. There are two opinions in the Gemara. Lishabasa habimelech lekula. The second opinion of the Gemara is that salt has a special heter, it's mutter. The kosher is bashal kibisatura. It's very hard to cook, and therefore shemachim mutar filu klirishin and kishehevi ruhu mehoish. Therefore, it's mutar and klirishin once it's been removed from the fire. That's the second lashon of the Gemara. Well, lish takama, having melach lechumra. It's the opposite. That we're machmer by salt. The filu klisheni is misbashal. That it cooks even a klisheni. Uposka rebbe poiskim klish tabasa. We have a general rule in Shas, not any other considerations aside, we follow the second opinion usually in the Gemara. Lishna Basra is the second opinion.
Listen, but if there's more than one opinion, we would still go, Lishna Basra would still be.
But the more presents, Ikadarmi this, Ikadarmi that, we would follow, whenever the more presents that type of construct, the standard is we follow Lishna Basra. Unless there's other, you know, you'll find an Amara which had, you know, later on did like, you know, you have other reason to believe. We have a story where an Amara followed the Lishna Kama, so you say, Maisarav. Maisarav means an action which is done is more powerful. So that's what Maisarav means. So the Maisarav, when Makriya could, like Lishna Kama, let's say, you know, whatever. But everything else being equal, we pass like Lishna Basra. So over here, the most posts can pass like Lishna Basra. So Ramah's language is preferable. Those are machmir get a blessing. It's not a real chiyuv. It's a good idea, you know. Like, hey, you know, getting blessings from Ramah is not a bad thing. You know, people can try to get all types of brachas. Here's an opportunity to get a bracha from a Ramah. Right? You stand in line for hours to get a bracha from a chassidish rebbe nowadays to get a bracha from a Ramah. I mean, machmer are not putting salt in the klisheni. I don't know. Sounds good to me.
Isn't there a thing about salt in America versus how salt's made in Eretz Yisrael?
We're going to get to that.
So maybe I could still get a bracha from the Ramah even with
salt. No. Vani milah b'melach shecherfen. Now, this is all discussing salt, which is mined. You know, they would mine. There's salt mines. They would take the salt out. It's never been cooked. Salt is made by they take seawater, take salt water, they cook it, and then you reduce it down to the salt. That's already cooked, and therefore in bishul after bishul, kila kamam esif tezayin mogadaram v'sharachrim. So most of our salt nowadays is cooked.
Do we say that by sun it's also cooking or not? If it's just dried out of seawater?
No, sun would not be considered cooking. Right? Most of the process is done, I think most salt is considered, practically, they say on the market, most salt is cooked.
Okay.
What wouldn't be considered cooked?
If they would use the evaporation of the sun to can do it.
So then that's different than what?
So all this is, so it's there from the vast majority of this machloikas over here is irrelevant because most of our salt is cooked.
So when they say sea salt, that's what that means?
I don't know. I don't know what sea salt means.
And is that something to rely upon then, that we can assume that
your standard table salt is considered a considered
cooked. So we wouldn't have to worry that right. We're going to clear it.
So therefore, you can't have the chumrah of the ramah because it's not relevant in that situation. So you can't get the brook.
Unless you get sea salt. That's not... Oh, wait. No, I'm saying that is cooked.
I don't know.
We're not sure.
I don't know what it is.
You have to do it yourself.
If I get dead salt from the Dead Sea, I get Yamamela salt.
Right. That's not been cooked.
That's not been cooked.
I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know.
Yamamela. Probably just straight salt. If I actually go myself and take the salt from Yamamela, and I put that... And I don't put it in a clear ratio.
Don't put in a klisheni.
I don't put in a, even in a klisheni, I don't put. See, I get extra brach.
Well, no, the brach don't get in that klisheni.
Do you actually have to like withhold from doing it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Wow, we're discussing brachas over here. Okay. V'chein b'tzukur mutim ha'itayim v'lesitim klirishin l'achash eviruhu mino eish. So sugar also, sugar is cooked. And therefore you're allowed to put in a klirishin once it's off the fire. You know, not on the fire, you can't put, basically can't put anything. Okay, some raise a question with this. You should not put sugar in a klirishin. Now, take a look over here. The Maramokim, which he sent it to in the Ramah, excuse me, in the Shari Tzion, is the Shari Tshub over here. Shari Tshub is in Sifkat Nechav Ches. So he bought the lion behate fine buying punami iris. That's the quote from the separate punami iris and pedalad. They have already cooked tea, which is hot. Theoretically you can make a pot of tea on the fire, right? You know, no reason why not to. And leave it on the blech, and you have a hot tea. So they did that, and then they would pour into their cups, sheish ben tzukr, which have salt on them. So you're pouring from a klirishin onto sugar. They have sugar. They're pouring into the sugar. Ain kamishum bishul. There's no problem with bishul. Kiman shah tzukr karnis bashul mevesa uman. So the sugar has been cooked in the processing place. The uman is the workers, the craftsmen who made them. The factory, it's considered davar yavish. Now this is all the Panamir is talking. Even though the sugar will dissolve, yesh b'din yavish has a status of a yavish. You're allowed to put salt, which has been cooked, into a klirishin, not on the fire. You can put sugar into klirishin, not on the fire. Ayin shom. Now it continues. A few pages hence, and page coupon of test. The Shari Tshuva continues, and he says, "The Maksik Bracha costed b'shem Zera Emes. Zera Emes is a Tshuva saver, and the Maksik Bracha is the Chidor. So the Chidor and his saver, which is Maksik Bracha, follows the saver of the Shulchan Aruch. And the Maksik Bracha, the Chidor quotes the Zera Emes. Shemagam Gem Bezet. That he raises the question on it." You should put the coffee, his case was the case of putting coffee, into the cup. Then you can put the sugar in. It's all talking about obviously that it's hot enough that there's going to be an issue. So that's the Mishabura is sending you to the Shari Tshuva, that the Shari Tshuva raises a question with this issue. It doesn't say clearly what the question is. I mean, he doesn't quote what the question is. The understanding of what the question is the fact that it dissolves immediately. So the fact that it dissolves would raise a question that we don't deal with it like a Dabra Yovesh, but rather we deal with it like a Dabra Lach, and Dabra Lach, they raise two issues. One issue which they raise is the fact that maybe we should deal with the process of the way they make sugar is considered like it's baked as opposed to that's considered cooked. If it's baked, we have a problem with bishul achar afiyah. So that's one question which they raise. I don't know whether it's applicable nowadays. And the Masechta HaShekel says that the reason why this is problematic, he says he understands that the chumrah over here is the fact that it dissolves immediately, and therefore it should be considered like a liquid, and it should be and we should deal with it as it's cold, so yesh bishul achar bishul. Now there is, we'll see later on in Sivkot and Chof, we mentioned this a little bit last, say it again, Sivkot and Kuf, that the case of the shuman, which dissolves, even though it dissolves as soon as you put the hot water there, we still deal with it as a davar yovesh, not as a davar lach, so what's the difference? So they say they maybe discuss it doesn't dissolve totally. You still see the fat globules, etc. Over here, it dissolves totally. So we deal with it as a davar lach. So that being said, you know that according to this chumrah, you would not pour. You could, even though it's cooked already. Normally, you could eat something which is cooked and it's yovesh. You're allowed to pour onto it from a kli rishon. You should not pour on from a kli rishon. It's a davar lach shenitstanein. To put into a cliche, maker than his mutter. So even if you can deal with it like a double lach, you want to put it, it's a double lach which was nispashal and now it's cooled off, you're allowed to put it into a cliche. So putting it into a cliche would be a mutter. Yeah. Okay. Ayin Beis. If you put salt in there, even as ala esh, if the pot's on the fire, everybody holds that the salt is also to put in. So now, what's the status of the food that you put the salt on? It's mutter. Why the melech bottle? The salt is bottle. We have a klal in Yeridaya. There's something which is made for the purpose of giving flavor. Does not become bottle. So how can you tell me the salt is bottle that's connected to Parashat Din in Shulchan Aruch? The answer is, Shani Hachad, the Havi Zevazegarib. It's a case of Zevazegarib. There's a concept in Shas called Zevazegar. Zevazegar means if I have that something which is usur, and something which is mutter, which generates result X together, we don't focus in on the Devar Isser generating it as the primary issue. We look at the combination of the two, and the combination of the two, that means it loses its special chashivas of that it's made for Tom or whatever the issue might be. So, for example, an example is Zevazegar. I just had one recently. The more discusses the concept of Zevazegar in a case called Shvach Eitzim B'Pas. So you have Eitzim, which are Osir. And the Yisur Hanoa, whatever it might be. And they're in the oven together with the Eitzim, which are Mutter. So the Mor presents a concept that, you know, that you can't be in the henna from the wood turns into a fire, and now you baked bread there, so it should be usher to eat the bread. There's no Isser Hanoa which goes into the bread. But while you're eating the bread, you're benefiting from the fact that the Eitzim generated the bread. So by eating the bread, you're retroactively benefiting from the wood, which was usher. The Mor says it's only usher if you only have wood of Isser there. It would have had to there also is to say you can't clearly connect this bread to the Isser part. Zevazagarim, this and that together created it, caused it, so it's mutter. So we hear the flavor was generated through salt of Isser and salt of Hetzer together. Okay, now, Mishabur is going to clarify what does he mean. This answer, by the way, is in the Beis Yosef. So the Mishnah explains the Hacha Marish Nimlach Gam Kain Mikvar Be'er Shabbos. There was salt, ready salt there from before Shabbos. So there was prior salt. There was salt of Heter. Okay, number one. Number two. This heter that was a gurim is only if they need to do it together. But if the salt that you added now can do it all by itself, we don't say the heter is ever a gurim.
Okay. Wait, what do we mean if the salt?
In other words, you want to generate a flavor in the food.
Right.
So if you added a, let's say for argument's sake, a teaspoon of salt before Shabbos.
Right.
And you want to generate a flavor which is more than a teaspoon's worth of salt. Right? So you add some more salt on Shabbos. So that generates the flavor that you want. Well, let's say you added on Shabbos enough salt that it could do it by itself, generate the flavor that you want. A tablespoon's worth of salt. So that's enough salt to generate the flavor regardless of the salt which is placed there before Shabbos.
It overwhelms the previous.
So then there's no hetter b'zeves agurim because it's doing it all by itself.
And you're adding it to the liquid?
The case over here was putting on a food.
Right, putting on food. So the zev zegarim.
There was, you salted the food before Shabbos. Now you're salting again on Shabbos.
And were the chashash is that the food is going to cook the malach?
It was a kli rishon. You put person went put salt on a kli rishon, which is aleish.
Okay.
So which is also to do. So does it make the food aser? So the food really mutter. The problem is you cooked the salt.
Okay.
Yeah, but the flavor of the salt is in the foods, and that's a rule that sandwich is there for flavor, it doesn't become bottle.
Okay.
Yeah, but the flavor you want to generate needs the salt from before Shabbos. It's a gurum. No, it doesn't. It can do it by itself. So in that situation, also Michael, I'm going Shabbos, inosim aklisha kisham aleish. So in the case you put it on food, it is on the fire, which according to Shulchan Aruch is also to do, according to everybody's also to do. So that's also. Now what about a case you put it in a kli rishon, not aleish? According to Makaber, the case is mutter. According to the Machar Tavol of Bracha, so we're not going to say, but you have the food is mutter. Usher. Hani Mili, fine. Now, Vani Mili b'Melach Shenasim b'Chafira, b'Melach Shenasim b'Mayim Shemavashim Ein Lesser Michael b'Chanal. Even though I told you before that even salt which you cook and you made it through cooking, you're not allowed to put it on the food while it's on the eish. But that will not aser b'diyev. If a person took our regular table salt, which is cooked, and would go to the cholent, which is still in the crock pot, and add some salt into the cholent, right? So even though it wasn't allowed to do that, they would not aser the food.
And I forgot, do we say that salt has the din of kali bishul?
No, we're not giving the din of, well, according to the second opinion,
okay, right.
That was, you shouldn't put in even a cliche, so it would be equivalent to Kali Bishul.
So then with Tavlin, then would we also say...
No, Tavlin is separate from salt.
And we don't say, right, and we don't say the Zem Zem Gorim with Tavlin.
Zem Zem Gorim is only an issue on the Bidi Evitz. There was a never would create, generate a head that allowed to put it there where you can't put it on Shabbos.
Okay.
It's only in the regards of the... If a person did, and we want to discuss the concept of bitzel, and we have a rule by flavors are not bottle, says that was a garm, takes away the rule that flavors are not bottle. Right, it's a very, very small window of applications that was a garm for our purposes.
And that's only to make the food mutter if you were to do so.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, what if somehow, like, you were over on Kali Abishal, you were Mabashal on this Kali Abishal, and there was a way to, like, take it out of the food, would that then make the food mutter?
What's it?
Let's say you had something in your food that's Kali Abishal, like, I don't know.
Yeah, you could take it out.
The eggs was Kali Abishal or something like that.
Yeah, so you take the eggs out.
You had an egg, you accidentally, I don't know, whatever, you accidentally put an egg in your cholent after, you know, in the sandwich did a potato, it's a, you know.
Right.
So it cooked. And then you took it out. The whole cholent's still mutter, right?
Yeah, well, that's what it's saying. There's whatever left there would be bottle.
Well, no, that's what I didn't get.
What
does that mean? Whatever left is
bottom. So you have a little bit of salt there, so the salt's bottom. That's what I'm always saying. Even though the you cooked the salt, and the salt is also to eat on Shabbos, because you cooked it on Shabbos.
Right.
But it's not going to affect the food because it's bottom.
That's what's happening because you can't taste it.
Well, assuming you had the regular dinner bittul, right?
Now this part here, though, it says it's if somebody put in enough salt that it sort of stands on its own, it's usher until Motzei Shabbos.
Right, that's what you cooked it on the fire.
On the fire, right? So for that situation where it's usher, is that for everybody or the person who did it? Is it, or are there different levels of?
Well, it depends. Well, depends. Like we had back in Sefal, it depends whether it was done b'mezer or b'shogeg.
That's what I'm getting at. So if it's done b'mezer, then it would be usher for the person forever. Correct.
That were correct.
Okay. Right. So same rules that we had before.
Correct. Okay. Yud. Sif Yud. Also, Lidin Tavolin or Tavolin Bikora. You should not put the spices which have not been cooked into the plate or the bowl. Valaris Aleim Mekirishin and pour directly from the Mekirishin onto them, because we have a rule that Iri is Mavashal Kadei Klipa. So that's an issue of the rice. You're cooking the outer layer of the spices on Shabbos. Ayin dalad, so cut ayin dalad, b'kirishin. V'af the tavlin, emes basha b'klisheni. They can't cook in a klisheni, b'chanal, like we said before, that's in a klisheni. K'mokim, ho'eiri, b'klirishin, b'kaim alon, d'hum v'asha k'dei klipa. But pouring, which from a klirishin, does cook the outer layer, a little bit, and therefore it's going to be usher to eat. Now, a little bit yavid, is usher, imera lehed yaleim, shalom nifzik ha'kiluach. If a person would pour on them in such a way that there is no break in the flow, because if you have a situation where a person pours, turns the pot that he's pouring from up, so by the time that the water, or whatever it is, the food, that liquid hits the spices, they're not attached to the klirishin, so then we could differentiate in halacha between an iri, which is nifzik, shalom nifzik hakiluach, that the flow has not been interrupted, still connected. So it's still connected. We say that it's connected back to the walls of the klirishin, which generate cooking power. That's what we spoke about yesterday. So this iri, which is still connected, has the power to cook, because it's connected back to the walls of the klirishin. What is nifzik hakiluach? I'll tell you that maybe b'di'evid, at least b'di'evid, we're not going to aser it. Now, there is one question over here. There was a question back in the Sharetzion, back in Sifkot and Hay. The Rambam said a chiddush that when you cook something k'macho ben drusoy, it's only going to be oster if you cook it from both sides. He said, "Tzli gomura k'macho ben drusoy is chayiv." If it's any tzligum, or it has to be cooked from mishnei tzadim shel basar dafka, milav is potter. That's the Rambam. So the Sharat Tzion in Zikot and Hay raises the question that bishul kedei klipa has in it, it's only one sided, and it doesn't cook totally. Also, only cooks k'macho ben drusoy. So that being so, according to Rambam, it should not be chayiv, only be drabonon. So not be nisur d'oraisa. So that also, you know. So then we can start arguing that something which is only asur d'rabbanan, that the Goyin says, Malach d'rabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rameyer, that Rameyer holds, Rameyer's mezid is Rabbi Yehuda's shoygeg, and which is, it's asur d'rabbanan, and if ever it's mutter even for him, and Rameyer's Shoigeg is mutl gamri, even by bayayim. Right? So, in the case we did it b'shoigeg, iri the chari b'shoigeg, you would have what, the, according to that Rambam, would come out that it's mutter, you'd be saying that it's mutter, but yeah. So, according to the Gerah. So that's a little bit of a question. Fine. You're in it. Sif Yud Aleph. So this week, John asked me this question yesterday after Shir. Ambati, Pirish Klisha Rechitz, but it was like a tub. You see your bathtub in there. Your bath, Ambati. Klisha Rechitz, but Shal Merchatz, Shimalei Maim, was used in the Merchatz place. It was a large, the bathhouse is a large tub that they would wash in, or a large basin they would wash in, probably, which is full of water, Maim Chamin, full of hot water. Av Alpisha, who Klisheni, even though it's a Klisheni. Enosin Lo Maim, Sinan, you can't put cold water in there. Even though cold water, water does not cook in a Klisheni. But over here, where there's a large amount of the hot water, Mechamamon Harbe, it heats it up tremendously, and it's going to be awesome. You're allowed to pour out from the Ambati into something else, into cold water. Sukkot and Ayin Hay. Malaya Mayim Chamin. It's full of hot water. Filo Bechami Teverya, which there's no question of cooking, because cooking has to be from something which is heat generated by fire. In the Chamin Teverya, we consider an alacha that's heat. It's like it was generated from the sun. So the hot springs of Teverya, we have hot water from the hot springs of Teverya. You have an ambati of that water. So you would direct the hot spring into the sambati, and now you have another sambati full of this hot water. You can't put cold water into that ambati.
Why would they be putting cold water in an ambati on Shabbos? And why would they be using?
They want to cool it off, so you'd be able to wash. Other certain
on Shabbos.
Okay, so we'll see later on. It's a good question. Water which was heated on Shabbos, even beheter, you may not use for washing, because Allah said washing in it. However, if you take hot water which is heated from before Shabbos, and you add cold water to it in a way which is mutter, the ikur psak on that is that you're allowed to use that water to wash, to bathe in on Shabbos, panayot of aragov, or if it's a person, a specific part of their body which is soiled, you could do that. Can't do roiv gufoy. But you can do those parts of the body. And one of the examples that we don't consider it as if it was water heated beheter on Shabbos. We consider it like just cold water. There's hot water. The two combined make warm water. It's not that the cold water became heated. And so we deal with it in halacha. So you could wash you meeker than you halacha l'maaseh. You could if I take some hot water out of the percolator. And I put in a cliche and I mix in some cold water there, and so I have warm water, I can use it to wash my baby on Shabbos without a problem. That's a hetedic way of getting warm water to wash the baby. Just, but if I would take water, cold water, and put it on top of the percolator to heat up, even though it's a place which has mutter to do that, that I couldn't use. It's a difference. Okay, so now you've taken the spring, directed it into this this ambati, this container. Now I want to put cold water in there. So we deal with that, Rashi says we deal with that as, even though it's a very long pipe, long distance pipe, but it's still considered connected back to the source of the heat. So we deal with that situation like a klirishon. And that's Rashi is actually the source where Shlomo Zalman and others discuss the status of your hot water heater. How do we deal with the water coming out of our faucet? Well, there's this boiler. I own the big house, right? So the boiler is in the northeast corner of the house, and I'm in the southwest corner of the house, and it's 100 feet away. and it went through all these different pipes, it's coming out of the faucet, it's still considered irikli rishon. Because it's all connected. And the source for that is this Rashi explains the case of the Abati. He says, since even though it traveled through this pipe, since it's still connected back to the original water, it's considered like a kli rishon. You put it into a separate kli, then you put the water in. Now this is, that case is much even if the water which you're adding is smaller amounts than the water which is there, so it's going to get heated up. It's going to heat it up. It's going to get heat. That's the case of getting heated up by the water from Chametz Rei.
Rabbi, what if the water collects again after it? You know, like in Rabbi's house, there's one water heater and that's it. But like an apartment building, there's a water heater and then there's water pumps as it goes up the floors.
As long as it's still connected, most usually assume that's considered still one.
It's all still cleared.
Now, but the case of the Ambati, which is heated by fire, so you want to put into a klisheni, you still can't add in cold water. Why? The kibbutz shehem l'rechitza. Since you heated it for washing purposes, mistama chimim on harbor, usually they would heat up that water a lot. Even a klisheni, it'll get cold, the cold water which you put in will get cooked. By the way, this is the Chochmas Adam's raya to his idea of Yad Nichvus by that Klisheni can't cook, but there's a certain temperature which is so high even Klisheni would cook, is from this din. He says, if you tell me that Klisheni never cooks, it never cooks. If you tell me that if it's a large amount, it cooks, because why is it so much heat, it'll cook it. So what's not going to be, it's 160 degrees, but it's 3 gallons, or it's 210 degrees and it's 1 gallon. Either way, it's tremendous amount of heat. It cooks in a klisheni. That's the same result. So that's how he understands it. Since you heat it up, there's a large amount of heating, that's why it's a problem. In Nesil Mayim, suddenly you can't put in cold water. Now, Ein Machredim, Shekosim, the Davka Mayim Mawatim, Shepshah, he's Basha Basham. The Reis is putting in a small amount of water, which would get cooked over there. However, if you add so much cold water that the final result is that the hot water ends up being lukewarm, Pershim is lukewarm, so you added so much cold water, then the cold water overpowered the hot water, so it's mutter. Now, as comes what Mr. Burin said, this is what the Achranim say, Mr. Burin is going to qualify that. The case we're talking about here was a klisheni. Let's say there was a klirishon. It means you had heated the water in that container directly. The fire was under that container. See, it's not on the esh anymore. The fire went out. Still, yeshokos, and I want to add in a lot of cold water, which will make it lukewarm. Still, yeshokos adasaran, rabbi nirucham, shekos adambati, osalitza nafilat sanam rubin. They said, no, you can't even put a large amount in. And so, right. Because as you're putting in, it's getting cooked, etc. That's more chomer. Ayin ches. But you could put water from this ambati into something else. I will know sin. I feel the ambati is klirishon. Even the ambati is klirishon. More dolaris is chmaim tzenim. You're allowed to pour from a klirishon into cold water. If the cold water is larger amount than the hot water, I told you you can't pour iri klirishon is like klirishon. You can't put water in a klirishon, so why should you allow to pour water onto a klirishon? Pour onto water from a klirishon, right? If you can't pour, you can't put tavan on a klirishon. You can't pour out the tavan from a klirishon. You can't put water into a klirishon. And then I'll tell you, but you could pour from a klirishon onto the water. What's the difference? Davka klirishon. Zel davka davar gush. The difference is over there, it's a solid. Avol ha'okha shayin, over here, it's a liquid. Shemis arvim ha'chamim, atzonim isbat alachim imusin, kemen shatzonim merub. In the case where there's a large amount of colder water, you're pouring in a small amount of hot water, it mixes immediately. So it never has a power to really impact it. So if I have a big washing cup, there are, you know, those standard washing cups you get in the store, they hold 16 ounces. You know, you want to go, it's the winter, it's very cold water, it came out of the tap, you want to go into the percolator and add a little bit of hot water into it to warm it up a little bit. So you add a little bit in, that's mutter, even though it's directly from a klirisha and into the water, since it's sana merubin, and it mixes up immediately, it's going to be mutter.
And we don't say that about the solids, even if they're small. We don't say that.
Correct.
So what's the fundamental difference then between the liquids and then small pieces of solids that seemingly their cooking time would be, in terms of the eyes of halacha, would be almost identical?
The nature over here is because the liquid, as it pours in, it gets immediately infected by the cold because it mixes.
The temperatures changes very quickly.
It spreads evenly.
Yeah.
Whereas by the solid, it hits in a spot that cooks it and then eventually cools off. So that spot that you hit, you did bishul. Now I want to take a hot piece of meat, put it into cold gravy. So I said, well, liquids move. Yeah, but the liquid into liquid, the nature is it moves. But if I put a solid into the liquid, the nature is that the solid will cook the liquid, which is immediately next to it. Eventually that liquid might move, but at the first connection, it has a place which is place where it the contact, there's a place you can point, say that, oh, there is the place of contact. I'm allowed to pour into another bati which has cold water in it, and obviously I can pour it to anything else which has cold water, as long as, again, that the cold water is the majority. Okay. Yud Beis. Let's just at least, we'll start the mechaber. It's late. I can't hold it. Here we go.